now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk.
It's another game podcast bonus here, so thank you all for joining us. We hope you guys like this. I'm assuming you do because you guys listen to it. I'm joined by Allison Rudd this week, but we're going to do things slightly differently. Allison, you will be asking me about why Serie A didn't kick off this past weekend as they were supposed to.
Yeah, big shock. Heard a rumour there were players on strike, Gab. I mean, that they were going to go on strike in Spain, and that was averted. Why was it not the same in Italy?
Well, they did go on strike in Spain. The start of the season was pushed back a week. Different reasons between Spain and Italy. In Spain, it's a question of unpaid wages. There were about seven clubs who owe about 200 players a total of 50 million euros. That's roughly 43, 45 million pounds. And so they reached an agreement on how they're going to basically pay those footballers the money they owe them. In Italy, the basis of the strike is slightly different, and it hinges on two issues, which you're going to find perhaps a little bit silly, but one of them is that the Italian government, because of the difficulties, has introduced new austerity measures. They haven't been approved yet, but they will be. And one of them says that high earners need to pay a one-off tax of either 5% or 10%, depending how much money they make. Now, obviously, this affects footballers. And, you know, and everybody needs to tighten their belts and whatever else. The problem is, it's called a solidarity tax, in case you're wondering. The problem is, the way most Serie A contracts are written, they're written in net terms, so in after-tax terms, and your employer kind of pays all your taxes for you. So if the tax rate goes up, it's still your employer, i.e. the clubs, who are on the hook. And the clubs are saying, well, this isn't really a tax, this is a solidarity tax. Why should we have to go and pay this? And some clubs, I mean, AC Milan on the hook for about 12 million pounds, Juventus for about 8 million. And that's why and that's why they don't want to pay it. They're saying that the players have to pay it.
Are there any other industries in Italy where they organise the tax in a similar way? I mean, it's an anathema to think in England that, you know, the Times don't pay my tax, the civil service don't pay someone's tax. In Italy, where did this? How did it evolve that you would have your tax paid for you?
Well, actually, this is something that was introduced to protect the workers. We never had Thatcher in Italy, so we actually look out for working people. And one of the things most almost everybody who's not sort of freelance, who doesn't work, who's not self-employed, basically, their employer is responsible for their taxes. So, you know, if they take all your details, and when they negotiate with you, they say, okay, Allison, you will make, you know, 100 widgets a month, and it's done to protect the worker so that if the government comes out and says, oh, we're going to impose more taxes, then it's not the working man, on the surface anyway, who pays for it because his salary doesn't change. It's his employer.
So it's a linear progression. What happens to footballers happens to every Italian. So the Italian public behind the strike? Do they think it's an important principle?
No, the Italian public are against the strike because they actually don't have much sympathy for people who are millionaires, and that's a difficulty. Now that's one reason with the strike. I mean, I think footballers will end up paying it, but footballers also kind of feel that, you know, the clubs are just dumping this on them. The other main reason, which again kind of reminds you how sort of the world of work parallels football sometimes, is that there's an article in the collective bargaining agreement that says that if you're a footballer, you have a right to train with the first team, and it's the club's responsibility to give you all the goods and services you need to train with the first team. So the kit, the availability of the pitches, the coaches, whatever else. The clubs want to change that. And the reason they want to change that, according to the players, is that the squads in Italy are enormous. Lazio, for example, have 38 first-team players under contract. Obviously, they want to get rid of nearly half of them. Because it's disruptive, you know, a poor manager having to go and try to coach 38 people on one football pitch at one time. That's not easy. So they want to be able to split them apart and send some of them away to train by themselves, the unwanted players. The players are saying, wait, you can't do that because that's the equivalent of constructive dismissal, right? You hired me to do a job and now you're saying, okay, go off and train by yourself with a ball. I'm not really interested in you. I'll just keep paying you. And they say that this could be used as leverage to get players to accept moves to clubs that they don't want to go to.
That's I didn't know that, and it sounds quite comical. So if you're on the back of the program, number 44 shirt, but the manager doesn't see you as part of his plans for the next match, you have to, as the player, you have the right to plonk yourself right in the middle of his midfield and say, "Woo! I'm here. I'm part of training."
Yeah, exactly. You don't have a right to play in a competitive game, obviously, but you have a right. You know, you have a right to train. But I mean, I think it's not. I mean, the argument there is it's not that different from, you know, what happens in the real world. I mean, let's say I hire, you know, Rudd to be the manager of sales in the Midlands at Sports Direct, for example.
Of which I have dreamed.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, I don't like you, but I don't want to sack you because I don't want to pay up, you know, all the huge amounts of money it would take to sack you. I don't want to deal with industrial tribunal. So I just say, okay, Allison, you go sit in this room here by yourself, you know, with no phone or no computer. And some of your European sales or some of your Midland sales dudes will
but
go
you
to Chris, the producer here.
But that's not the analogy really, is it? Because you're not going to say to the player in the number 44 shirt, you're not allowed any boots, and you're not allowed a bib, and you're not allowed a cone, not allowed a football. They would give that player a coach and a group of players to train with.
It's interesting you say that, but there have been in the past, you know, the reason the clubs want to get rid of this is that there have been a number of cases in the past where clubs have done just that. They've made them go train on another pitch, you know, nearby or whatever, the players have sued. They've won. I mean, the most famous case was Goran Pandev. And one of the reasons that this happens, and in fact, Lazio are the worst culprits because it's five times that they've been sued and five times they've lost. And the thinking goes that with Pandev, for example, what Lazio were accused of doing was he had a year left on his contract, right? So it was a Gary Cahill type situation. The club knew they could sell him for a fair amount of money, but obviously with a year left, they were going to get less for him. So they said, all right, you go sign this contract, and then we will sell you wherever you want to go. And he said, no, I'm not signing a new contract because, you know, I can make more money if I let my contract run down, or if you sell me now with a year left, because it'll be cheaper for the buying club and I can get a better deal for myself. So the club said, aha, then we will punish you. And basically, you know, this guy who had been a full-time starter, all of a sudden, you know, he was sent off to train by himself, and he argued it was constructive dismissal, and he won, and he was given a free transfer and given compensation.
But it's remarkable that it's been allowed to evolve to this, because it sounds like a caricature, not reality, but it sounds like it may well be reality that you could be a player who has gone well off the boil, your head's not in the right place, you're not in form, and you can wreck a training session because the manager has to involve you.
You mean like wreck it for disciplinary reasons?
Wreck it for any reason, for just because training doesn't go well, because you've got to find a way of slotting in a player that you don't think is up to it. I mean, that cannot be true, that if you're holding training, you've got a big match coming up, you want to prepare the team for an important match, everything has to start working well. It's very important that in training it goes well so you can take it that one step next into the match, and you've got one or maybe two players who just aren't doing it. They're not playing well, their head's in the wrong place, they're not doing as they're told. Does the if a player is not doing as he is asked to do in training, does the manager not have the right to say, leave, because you're wrecking training?
You can't leave him, though. I mean, he can find the player, but you can't just ask him to leave. You can't kick him out. He has a right to be there.
It's remarkable that any Serie A team puts up any sort of performance at all.
I know, we really are remarkable, are we? Anyway, Alison, judging from your assessment there, I think it's pretty clear that in the eternal struggle between the workers and the owners and corporations, it's pretty obvious where your sympathies lie.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Hi, I'm Jane Garvey.
And I'm Fee Glover.
Off Air with Jane and Fee is going live.
We are taking to the stage at the amazing Crucible Theatre in Sheffield on Friday, the 31st of May.
It'll be a night full of surprises. We'll have a special guest, we'll involve you in the audience, and we'll embarrass ourselves. You really won't want to miss it.
Well, the surprise is we don't yet know what's in it, so it genuinely is a night of surprises.
Well, you've surprised me already. It's not just us. Our live show is part of an exciting new podcast festival called Cross Wires, which is taking place in some really amazing venues across Sheffield from the 31st of May to the 2nd of June.
So other podcasters that you'll be able to see include Katie Price, Catherine Ryan, Ramesh Ranganathan, and the original Adam Buxton. But there's also a whole host of free fringe events, family shows, surprise acts, and after parties that Jane and I haven't yet been invited to.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Head to crosswires.live for tickets and more information.